Pastor Brian Grant has been leading us in his messages through the book of Ephesians, and tonight's message begins the fifth in his mini-series on the worthy walk, that manner of life that the Apostle Paul cautions the Christians in Ephesus that must characterize the life habits of all those who claim to have been saved through the grace found only in Christ. In the previous messages in this series, Pastor Grant has shown us from the Scriptures some crucial elements that describe what it means to walk worthy of our calling in Christ. We learn that this walk must be one of walking in unity, recognizing the fact that God has made of all believers one body through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We learn that this worthy walk is a walk in honor, walking no longer in the ways of the Gentiles. Now, in the message we will hear this evening, Pastor Grant will again take us through the Ephesian Epistle, chapter 5, to bring before us another critical component of the kind of walk that Christ expects from every individual who claims his name. So we invite you now to listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, Walk in Holiness. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A lady who appeared to be almost 9 months pregnant was shopping at a local supermarket. And when she was finished shopping, she went to her car. And as people passed her car in the parking lot, they were surprised, they were shocked by what they saw. Because this lady was giving birth right in the parking lot. But she wasn't giving birth to a baby. She was giving birth to a chuck roast, a small ham, a bag of potatoes, some chocolate bars, toothpaste, and a number of grocery items. You see, she looked pregnant, but she really wasn't. Appearances can be deceiving. You know, Joseph Kennedy told his boys, what counts is not what you are, but what you appear to be. And sadly, that philosophy has caught root in our society, and many people only want to appear to be somebody. Amen? But on the inside, it's a different story. They want to appear pregnant, but who knows what's underneath? No, don't go checking on everybody. But you know, sometimes as Christians, if we're not careful, we only want to seem to be holy. We don't care whether we are really living a holy life. All that we want is to seem to be holy. But this morning, as we continue our discussion on the worthy walk, I want to speak to you this morning on walking in holiness. Because God demands that if we're going to walk worthy, if we're going to walk in a way to please Him, we must be holy. The Scriptures tell us what? Be ye holy, for I am holy. We're talking about the walk in holiness. I want to share with you three things this morning that I believe will help us as we seek to walk in holiness. The first thing I want to talk about this morning from our text is what we must seek to walk as imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, the word of God says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Put in your notes, we must seek to walk as imitators of God. The Greek word translated imitator is the word mimetes. It's the word from which we get the English word mimic. A mimic is someone who copies someone else. And the word imitate is the same word mimic. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I hated when they mimicked me. Because, you know, when they mimic you as a child, they usually mimic some weakness that you have. Have you ever noticed that? Today, they have taken it to another level. And God, the Lord help you if you stutter, because they're going to mimic you to death. But I didn't stutter. But, you know, I had a strange walk and I had a strange way of talking. And they mimicked me and I did not like it. But I want you to know, God does doesn't mind if you mimic him. In fact, he commands us to mimic him. He commands us to imitate him because he has no weaknesses. Amen? You don't have to worry about imitating God. Some of you are old enough to remember the 90s when we had those wristbands. WWJD. You remember that? What did that mean? Oh, you're showing your age now. What would Jesus do? WWJD. And we had a wristband to remind us. It was really, if you think about it, it was really all about imitating God. What would Jesus do in any particular situation that we find ourselves? God wants us to imitate him in every single area of our lives. But in the text, there is one particular thing that he wants to make sure that we do not miss. Look at verse 2. He says, "Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us." Amen. We're to walk in love. Oh, you've heard me say before in the last few weeks that relationships among believers are among the most important things to God. Amen. I think you may have that in your notes, but if you don't, put it there. Relationships among believers are among the most important things to God. It's been very encouraging to see the response we've had to this series on the Worthy Walk. Several of you have made new commitments to the Lord, but I just want to ask you, have you followed through on whatever commitment you have made? It was so encouraging 3 weeks ago. I came into the church office the Monday morning, and there was a voicemail waiting for me that had been recorded the Sunday night. One of the brothers had called the Sunday night. He said, "Pastor, I have just got off the telephone, and I'm just excited to tell you things are okay." He said, "You know, God spoke to me this morning about unity." And he said, "There was a friend that I had for all these years, and something had happened, and the relationship had been broken. But," he said, "God spoke to me that morning, and I went home, and I humbled myself, and I picked up the phone, and I called him, and it's all been straightened out." Can we say praise the Lord? Because of his humility and his willingness to obey God, God worked it out, and a relationship for decades that had been broken was restored. And I need to ask you this morning, what have you done so far? Because I honestly believe there are individuals who God has spoken to, some regarding this matter of relationships. And I believe that it's possible that there's someone here this morning who still has not picked up the phone, still has not taken up a notepaper and written to somebody and say, "Let's fix it." It might take the humble step. You may have to humble yourself, but by God's grace, you can do it. Amen. God wants us to imitate him. And listen, imitating him means that we must take the humble position. Amen. Is there anybody else that could give us a better example of meekness and humility than the Lord Jesus Christ? Though he was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and he made himself of no reputation. And my friend, it's time we make ourselves, listen, recognize we are nothing. Only what we do for Christ will last, and we make the commitment to bring change. Amen. Amen. But listen, Ephesians 5:1 starts off with what word? What's the word that it starts with? It starts with the word "therefore." And as we said before, it's always important that we find out what is this "therefore," "therefore." And so to find out, we have to back up to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse number 30. and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted. What is the next verse in your Bible? Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, be imitators of God. Are you getting the context? It is saying we are to imitate God, and it is telling us what the Lord did. It is saying, listen, just as God in Christ forgave you, imitate God. You say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Pastor, I can't forgive. If you knew what they did, you wouldn't forgive either. I'm glad you don't have to imitate me. But by God's grace, I would want to imitate Christ. And God wants us to imitate Christ. May I take you to that scene on Calvary's hillside? May I take you to that scene when we were cursing him, when we were reviling him, when we were beating him, and all I hear is the creator of this universe saying to his Father, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. And so this morning, God is saying to every believer in Jesus Christ, he's saying to everybody here at GCA, he's saying, think of that person who has hurt you. Think of that person where the relationship has been broken. And he said, for Christ's sake, listen, for Christ's sake, forgive them. And he's saying, you have got to take the initiative.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. You've been listening over the last number of weeks to Pastor Brian Grant's series of messages on the worthy walk the Apostle Paul wrote up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Copies of all six messages are available on CD or DVD for a donation of $20. To order, please call 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. Or reach us online at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. You may also write to us at Germantown Christian Assembly, 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. Please include your full mailing address and be sure to specify CD or DVD. We thank you in advance for your interest. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You realize imitating Christ? Did you realize who took the initiative to get you saved? Who took the initiative? God took the initiative. We were the ones who had messed up, who had sinned. But God took the initiative. And by his grace, he rescued us. Can you say hallelujah this morning? From sinking sand, he lifted me. Praise his name. Hallelujah. And God says, I must imitate who? Him. Are you willing this morning? Are you willing to humble yourself? Are you willing to say, God, I hear you. God, I want to walk in holiness. Because what God is helping us to understand, that you cannot walk, I cannot walk in holiness if I have an unforgiving spirit. And therefore, God is saying, you and I, we must take the initiative. We must make the call. Pray and ask God to help you to resolve it. And would to God we could have more testimonies. Amen. We could have more testimonies of folks saying, listen, I had a broken relationship, but by God's grace, it has been healed. God helped me. I imitated Christ, and it has been fixed. May God help us to act on that. Listen, if we're going to walk in holiness, we must seek to walk as imitators of God. But secondly, we must seek to walk as a saint of God. In verse 3, it says here, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. The word saint comes from the Greek word hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, which means holy or to be set apart for God. In the Roman Catholic Church, there are qualifications that must be met for someone to be considered a saint. But the Bible teaches us that once you come to faith in Jesus Christ, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a saint. So if you know Jesus, if you're born again, pinch yourself, because when you pinch yourself, you have just pinched a saint. Listen, you are one of God's holy people. God has set you apart for himself. And listen, part of what God wants us to start doing this morning, he wants us to start thinking of ourselves as sometimes we don't think of ourselves as saints. But God wants us to start thinking of ourselves as saints, as God's holy people, individuals who have been set apart for God. And God has great expectations for his saints. I hope you realize that. God has great expectations for his saints. God expects his saints to be morally clean. But Satan is determined to trip us up. And this morning I have to go somewhere that I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I got to go there because I have to preach to you the whole counsel of God. Amen. And one of Satan's tools to trip us up is a three-letter word called sex. Andy Warhol once said that sex is the biggest nothing of all time. He was wrong, because sex is not a big nothing. Sex is big. God regards sex as something big. Do you know God could have made humans reproduce the way plants do, with floating spores and pollen? Would you like that? Somebody said, well, at least it would solve my problem. But instead of making us reproduce with floating spores and pollen and pollination, he decided that our reproduction should come from the loving embrace of sexual intimacy. God decided that reproduction should be based on, I like to use the word loving embrace. Because sometimes there is a lot of reproduction going on that ain't no loving embrace. But what an incredible gift God gave to us humans. I know somebody here feels like shouting, thank you, Jesus. You see, sex was God's idea. So don't think he's against sex. Don't think God doesn't understand it. Don't think he doesn't understand your feelings and your emotions. And single person, listen to me good. Don't think that God does not understand your needs. God made you. God made this thing. And God knows everything you need. Since God designed it, wouldn't you agree with me that God knows best how it should be celebrated? Can I get an amen on that? And I want to tell you, if this world, if the believer in Jesus Christ and even those outside of Christ would follow God's plan, we would have much less pain in our world. But you see, we feel it's all, I got needs. Well, I can't go into all the ramifications of that issue this morning. But here's what I want to tell you. God did not leave us in the dark. He told us how to use sex. And he told us how not to use sex. And here is what God's word has said. Sex is wonderful within marriage. outside of marriage, it's an offense to him. You can write that down. Sex is wonderful in marriage. Outside of marriage, it's an offense to him. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. And here's what God says. But fornication, and for those of you who are new Christians, fornication is sexual intercourse outside of marriage. God says, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. There is no doubt about it when you read these verses. Sex outside of marriage is an offense to God. And Satan knows that sexual sins are offensive to God. And so guess what? Satan works overtime. This is one area in our lives that Satan seeks to work on every single Christian. Don't think you're exempt. You say, oh, Pastor, all that's behind me. You better not think you're exempt, because Satan knows that this is one of the things that's very offensive to God. And Satan is trying to let every believer fall in this area. And so he bombards us with pornography. Chuck Swindoll calls pornography the number one secret problem in the church. Listen, I don't want to have to give you all the statistics, but suffice it to say, this is a huge problem in the Christian church. I have not done a survey at GCA, nor do I intend. We as elders will never do a survey, but let me tell you, I am confident in a church of this size, there are people who are struggling with this thing called pornography. Focus on the Family tells us that of the 10,000 contacts they receive each day, the number one reason people are calling is for help with pornography. One seminary recently indicated, this is a theological seminary, they recently said they no longer ask students about pornography if they're struggling with it, because from their discovery, just about every one of their incoming students are. They said the question they asked, that students coming into the seminary, the question is, how serious is your struggle with pornography? Just imagine, they have discovered almost every young person coming to study the Word of God, to minister God's Word, almost every single one they have discovered is struggling in this area. And so I want to ask you a point blank question. I don't want you to answer me, but I want you to answer God. How are you doing in this area? Are you struggling in this area to recover? You need to first admit to God that you have a problem. And I want you to realize, my friend, because sometimes, unfortunately, we become so ashamed of what we have done that we continue where we are. But I have good news for you. Victory is available in Christ. You don't have to continue. You don't have to dig your hole to bury yourself in. You need to say, God, I've got a problem. And God, I am so glad that there is victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, I shared that if we're going to put off the old man and put on the new man, we must stop focusing on what pleases the flesh, and we must start focusing on what pleases God. Remember, we spoke about that last week, remember? And so this morning, with that in mind, if I am going to put off the old man and put on the new man, the new nature, put off the old nature, for the sake of the ladies, I better change the lingo. Put off the old nature and put on the new nature. That sounds easier. I must stop focusing on what pleases my flesh. And I must start focusing on what pleases God. So, let me give you three ways to put this into practice when it comes to sexual sins. and pornography and all the other things the devil wants to trap us. Because the devil wants me to forget that I am a... The devil's objective is to get me to forget that I am a saint. That I'm God's holy person. I am set apart for God. He wants me to forget that and to live like the Gentiles.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.